Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 8 o'clock service on Sunday, October 1st, 2017.
The Testament reading for today comes from Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle reading is from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4 and 14 through 18. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offerings of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John is a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus was teaching in the temple when the chief priests and the elders came up to him and started questioning him. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Now, when you hear this, you might think to yourself, exactly what right did those men have to question Jesus? But is that really a fair question? Did those men know Jesus like you do and I do? Now, when I say this, I'm not attempting to excuse the elders and the chief priests of their well-documented hypocrisy. But unlike them, you have been baptized into Christ. You enjoy a personal, intimate, and saving relationship with Him. You have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit, the gift of spiritual discernment. And may we so employ the mind of Christ among us this morning as we consider this important question. If you've ever wondered if someone has the authority to be doing what they're doing, it's only reasonable to ask that person, should you be doing that? Are you authorized for this sort of thing? I'm sure you've had those questions asked of you at one time or another. And these are the questions that were asked of Jesus on that day. But then again, what was the motive of the elders and chief priests for asking those questions? Were they genuinely concerned about whether or not Jesus' teaching was faithful to the Word of God? Or were those men more concerned about losing their power over the people? My friends, there's a huge difference between asking, who are you? And just who do you think you are? Well, as students of the Bible, you and I already know that these men knew all about Jesus' authority. Of that, there can be no doubt. The elders and the chief priests were stalking Jesus. Wherever he went, they were always there. And they had seen his authority at work. When he healed the bedridden, when he opened the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, when he drove demons out of tortured souls, when he brought the dead back to life. They saw it, and they heard it. They heard it when Jesus taught. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one who had authority and not as the scribes. In fact, the Pharisee named Nicodemus personally told Jesus, "We know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." They knew it, didn't they? And that forced those men to ask of themselves, exactly what does all this mean for me? Well, that's a good question for you and me as well. What does it really mean to acknowledge the authority of Christ in our lives? For the Pharisees and the chief priests, that meant humbling themselves under the authority of Jesus. That meant letting go of the honor and status they so coveted as the undisputed leaders of their community. That meant giving up the power and control they had over the people and handing it all over to God. But of course, they wouldn't want that to happen, would they? And let's be honest, shall we? Neither would we. Does anyone here enjoy being humbled? Of course not. All of us like to be in control, right? We like to call the shots. We like to believe we're always right, and we don't like it when our authority is questioned. Because when it is, we become defensive. We get angry. We fight back. We gossip and we slander. And we try to disprove and discredit those who might disagree with us. We do whatever we have to do to save face and hold on to what we have. After all, we've got a good thing going. So we don't want some outsider coming in and messing it all up for us. Human nature. It always comes down to human nature, doesn't it? People don't want anyone to tell them what is right. Not even God Almighty. And especially not God Almighty. Not when what God says disagrees with what they think and believe. People have said to me, don't tell me what God says. This is what I believe. This is what I know, and this is what I say. And it is that sort of authority, very human and very unholy, that paints those Christians who stand by what God and His authority says as nothing more as being intolerant. Bigots, narrow-minded people who are unkind, unjust, and unloving. That's human authority. By its very sordid nature, human authority rejects and despises the Word of God. As a pastor, I can tell you all about the effects of human authority that refuses to be questioned or challenged or humbled. Try teaching on what God says about human life, about honoring marital vows, about teaching your children to obey the commandments. Try addressing those sins that you and I commit day in and day out. Sins like gossip and greed and holding those stubborn grudges. Or just being too lazy or selfish to show up for worship on Sunday mornings. You know, a pastor doesn't make many friends when he truthfully addresses those sins which God condemns. And yes, they are sins, whether you might think so or not. And committing them is a big deal to God. And they carry enormous consequences. Your Lord is all too clear about this in His Word. And my friends, I want you to know that it hurts me when people within the church tell me to back off or to keep quiet or to consider someone's unique situation or these changing times in which we live. You know, everything about this world and church is subject to change, except the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that sin is sin, regardless of what the culture may insist today, regardless of what the government may legislate. When you honestly confront someone with their sin, whether they want to admit it or not, some won't even try to deny it or offer excuses. They'll simply shrug, or they'll turn on you. Those who won't humble themselves to God's authority typically defend their sin by attempting to kill the messenger. Try it. Speak what God says by His authority, and this is what you'll hear. What do you know? And exactly who do you think you are? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who do you think you are? Who's in charge here? You? Me? Or God Almighty? When you look at the cross, when you think about how the King of Heaven came down to earth to take this on for you and for me, the difference between God's authority and our own selfish desires to do whatever we want to do without consequence is frightening. When we refuse to restrain our appetite for power and control, when we refuse to submit ourselves to God, we endanger our very souls. Do we have the power to hold grudges, to gossip, to withhold our gifts of time and talent and treasures because we don't agree with something in God's Word? Do we have the power to take our ball and go somewhere else when we are confronted with something we don't like or we don't want to hear? Well, yeah. We sure do, because God has given us that freedom. But that doesn't change God's Word. And it doesn't give us the authority to behave in hostile ways toward God, toward His Word, toward His children, and toward His church. Do we have the authority to judge His Word? Do we have the authority to call what He commands unjust? By whose authority have you been declared a sinner who needs to repent? And by whose authority are those sins forgiven? Yours? Mine? Or God? Paul writes in his epistle to the Romans, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God and are all justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I suppose I can put it this way. I didn't die for you on the cross, and you didn't die for me. But Jesus died for us all. You know, none of us has the authority to correct or cure a head cold. We certainly don't have authority or power over sin, death, and hell. The sin for which Jesus paid, the death for which Jesus died, and the grave from which Jesus rose and from which he will raise you on the last day. You see, he is power. He is authority. The power and authority that means new life for you and for me and for every believer in Jesus Christ. So don't challenge his authority. Hand yourself over. Submit yourself to it. Live your life today in him and for him, in the certainty that you will live with him in the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. Don't forget who's in charge. Today, and until that day when we are finally joined to him for all of eternity, heed his authority and live by those words which Jesus speaks to his bride. That's you and me, his church. To us, our Lord declares, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name, the authority of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them by my same authority to obey all that I have commanded you. There it is, my friends. That's what it's all about. Let this be our prayer, our vision, and our mission from this point forward. In the name and authority of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.